It's a new season. I don't believe I've ever, and I've heard this year after year, and there's been times when, yeah, I've been stirred, and I love, you know, I love the fact that we always have a new year because, you know, God's into new, always into new, and you read through the Word of God, and my goodness, there's so many new. Thank God there was a lot of new things in the Word of God because we would have all been in trouble if there hadn't been new. But sometimes God will just speak so profoundly, and you know that He's speaking. And I know that there are people here today that maybe you're in some really rough seas of your life. And it may be that the winds are blowing really, really high. But I believe that God is speaking to every one of us. It doesn't matter if we're in the middle of the storm, we just came through a storm, or we're not at that place. We're already experiencing all the goodness of God. But we know there are seasons of our life, and we all have so many of those, and we've went through them, every one of us. We're experienced at it, right? You know, when you get to be over a certain age, you look back and you think, my goodness, we have been through so many seasons of our life. But God has just been so good, and every season of our life has imparted something to us that keeps us moving forward. So we're at a brand new season, and it was in, I believe it was late November, early December, that the Lord gave me this word, and I knew that it was a prophetic word. Through the years, you know, sometimes God will give us personally prophetic words. He will. See, the Holy Spirit is always speaking. We're not always listening, and not always is it something that He's saying that stops us and jolts us, and we write it down. And one of the things that I'm going to say to all of you here, doesn't matter how young, how old you are, when you feel like God is imparting something to you, put it on paper. Just a week or two ago, I was going through some, trying to clean out a drawer, and found all kinds of notebooks, all kinds of papers, all kinds of words of the Lord. I sat and I thought, my goodness, that was 40 years ago. And it came to pass about 20 years ago. And then there would be, I don't know how many prophecies there were that I would, one day I would be ministering to women around the world. It went over my head. I mean, I probably agreed with it. Yeah, that's great, you know. But there's all kinds of nationalities in the USA, but I never thought I would go around the world like I have, and what an honor it's been to do that. But hang on to the words of God that God gives you. Write it down. Put it on paper so you can go back and you can look, because the enemy will come and he'll begin to tell you that you're not this and you're not that. But boy, pick up and remember a word of the Lord. But God, this is what you said. That I heard you say it, and you have been proven true in my life. And so I thank you for the word. Well, I believe this is a new word for us at Solid Rock. I know you've heard it already, but I'm going to tell you again. Because that's what I feel the Lord wants us to do. Because sometimes we hear, but we don't receive. And so today, I believe as we start this, Pastor Daryl and I believe that God is speaking some things to us. And I believe He's taken us through the seasons that He's taken us to bring us into this season, this church into this season. And so I'm excited about. This is the declaration. This is the word of the Lord that God gave me. This is the season you have been waiting and praying and waiting for. See, I'm not the only one that's been praying and waiting for this season. But this is the season for the prophetic to flow in prayer service after prayer service. We have said, God, we want the prophetic to flow in this church. We want it to flow in individuals' lives so that they'll know what the Spirit of God is saying to them. And because of that, they will stay in tune. They will stay in key with you. This is a season of harvest of souls. Oh, we pray for so many souls. A season of prodigals coming home. See, there's prodigals out there, but there's prodigals sitting in the seat here today. There are people that have forgot their first love, and they wandered off and begin to do their own things, begin to build their own in their soulish realm what they think God looks like and what God wants of them. But we can be far from God. We can think that we're right there, but we've taken off and doing our thing. And God's saying, I want my prodigals to get back. I want you to fall in love with me again. I want you to have that first love again. A season of new vision. God gives us new vision. Fulfilled dreams. Renewed strength. A season of growth. And that is not just numerical. And I believe we're gonna grow that way. But growth inside of us. Knowing who our God is. And not backing up and take 10 steps back when the enemy comes in. But standing our ground and said, oh no, this is my season. This is a new season for me, for my household, for my children, for my church, for my family. And devil, get out. I'm not going to allow you to steal the season that God says is mine. It's a season of increase, a season of renewed strength. Don't you need some renewed strength? Pastor and Daryl and I, all the time, we thank God for our strength. I mean, we may have a number that's pretty large, but we have the strength of the Lord. He said that he would give us strength. He would cause us to mount up like eagles. On the wings of an eagle and fly wherever God wants us to go. He said he'd strengthen us, but we got to believe it. We got to claim it. We got to want it. We got to do everything in our power to take care of these bodies. But we also have to see that the strength comes from the Lord. A season of laughter. I preached on that before, so I won't get there, but I lost my laughter. I lost my song along the way. Didn't even realize it. But I'm telling you, God wants to bring back the song. That when you get up in the night, the song is there. The song of the Lord is there. If you've lost your song, hey, this is your season. If you never had a song of the Lord, this is your season. This is the time. This is the day. Y'all stretch your hand out toward me. Thank you for a strong, strong voice this morning. In the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Thank you for it. We thank you for it. Amen. You may wonder what that means. It means that there has been much sowing in tears because of sorrow. Just as the tears have flowed, laughter will bubble forth from your innermost being. We had any crushed ones in this house? Have you been to that place where you cried and cried because you don't understand? Have you been there? Well, it's a new season, hon. It's a new season coming your way. That which has broken, it's been broken. Only scars will be seen. This year, our ladies' conference is called Beyond the Scars. One of our sweet little ladies, while we were overseas, I think in Africa, she was reading our new devotional, and she said to Carissa something to the effect, well, the next book should be called Beyond the Scars. Well, it just jumped at me, and I thought, yeah, we need to have a conference on that, and we're working on a book. We'll get the book, but the conference. But I didn't know that God was going to speak this in April. I didn't know that. And neither did the precious lady that said that. She didn't know that, but it was part of the prophetic. I am bringing a new song of restoration. A new song. I was broken. I was broken, but I'm not broken anymore. Because that new song of restoration means that you're no longer empty. Have any empty people in here today? Got some holes, got some things you don't understand, and you feel like you're running on fumes. Well, this is a good message for you. This is a day a time of restoration because we are no longer empty. We're now full. We have sowed much. No longer will you reap little. You will look around in amazement and you will see my glory in this season. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke this to me, but I say it to you. As you pick up my pen, pick up the pen, I will write my story in this season beyond the scars. So see, God's got a new season. You're getting ready. So you're getting ready to write something new. God's getting ready. There's a lot of pages in your book that are undone. And God's getting ready to write something brand new. And back in June, this scripture just jumped out of me. This scripture's been in the Bible forever. I've read it out of different translations. You have, and Pastor, he mentioned this just recently. Maybe as recent as last week. I'm not sure. I think so. But Amos 9:13 out of the Message. Oh my goodness, this is word. This is life. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. I want to get it in line with God's decree, what God's saying. Because see, God says things at certain times of our life, certain seasons. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings, blessings like wine pouring off the mountain and hills. Are you ready for a blessing? Are you ready for the next? Are you ready for God to fulfill his word to his people? Now, if you want to disbelieve, honey, you're not going to get anything out of this new season. But God says, for those that will believe, God is saying to us, I will exceed all you expect. God wants some good expectors. He wants us to dream again. He wants us to visualize again. Can you see those children that you've prayed for a long time coming back into the kingdom of God? Can you see some things that God put you in inside of you begin to manifest? You've got to see it with the eye of the Spirit because God said, this is what I want to do. This is what I am offering to you. Number two, I will increase all you invest. What are you investing? What are you investing into the kingdom of God? Yeah, we're talking about money, but we're talking about more than money. What are you putting into the kingdom of God? What are you sowing out every day to someone else? How much love are you giving? How much forgiveness are you giving? How much kindness and sweet words are you speaking to other people? You will get back all you invest. If you don't like what you're getting back, let's get a new crop sowed, okay? And we better sow it quick because this is the time to sow it because he said it's going to come back really, really quick. So if we've been unkind and mean and we have sowed the wrong things, we've thought the wrong things, it's not too late. This is a new season. This is a new day. Number three, I will excel time to accomplish my kingdom through your life. He is going to accelerate the time. Wow. It's not going to take as long as we think because look at the world around you. We got a lot going on in the world around us, right? A lot going on in the world around us. Well, so is a lot going on in the spiritual realm. And God says, I'm here, and I want to answer the prayers of my people. Last week, Pastor spoke on extraordinary. Remember, that's beyond the ordinary, beyond the natural. And I love that rubber band that he was talking about. You know, rubber band has a lot of stored energy in it, you know, and he used it to the thing that we, as God's people, we do the ordinary, but God wants to do the extraordinary in our lives. And so that takes some stretching. And you think that those things that you've been through have been so hard. God says, I know it has been hard and I haven't took my eye off of you and I love you. I understand and I feel for you, but you can let this be a stretching and let it be something that is going to produce. Just because it was bad doesn't mean I can't bring things good out of it because he's really good at that one. So extraordinary blessings start with simple acts of obedience, and blessings will create opportunities for us to minister to other people. I want to pray over you today. Lord, we are grateful. We're so thankful to be in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand today, there are pleasures forevermore. Today, there are needs in this place. I know that there are. We pray that your word will do what it does and change hearts. We give your name the praise. We give your name the glory and honor because you're so worthy in Jesus' name. God's strategic plan is to fight the enemy of our lives. God only has a winning plan for his people, for his church. It's a fixed fight. Did you know that? God's fight's a fixed fight. We win. If we choose, we win. We're going to read out of Romans chapter 8, about 8 verses this morning. This is the word of God. This is Paul, and he's talking to us, the Apostle Paul, and he says, "What then shall we say to these things?" 8:31, 39. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us. For your sakes, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In other words, there are those that will never appreciate what you have done. And Paul is saying, but we're giving our lives. We're giving it up for the gospel's sake. And that's what we as Christians do. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I love this verse. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation. He pretty well covers it all, doesn't he, right there? Will be able to separate us from the love of God. God says, I love you in the midst of the worst storm that you have ever been in your life. And so if we believe and receive it, if you really believe it, according to the word of God, and you receive it, you know that you are more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, not because we feel it, but because it's his word. We may not feel like that today, but the word of God has declared that if we are in Christ, which we are, then we are already an overcomer. Are we living below what God has said and promised to us? And I pray today that God gives us revelation so that we can receive his rhema, word of God. It is alive. His word is alive and is forever settled. May it come alive to us today. We may, some of us, maybe you came in and you're sitting on the sidelines, but see what does the sidelines mean? What does it mean to sit on there? You're a team. You're part of a team player, but you're always sitting out. They always pick someone else, or you're just too scared and you want somebody else to be picked, or you're just going through a lazy time. You know, sometimes we just get lazy. I've been there. I think we've all been those times. We get a little bit lazy. But sometimes we're sitting on the sidelines and we want somebody else to do what God needs done. But God is calling us out today as a church off of the sidelines. And he's saying, I want you to get in the game. You sat on the sideline. You made excuses long enough. I have gifts and I have talents that I deposited inside of you. And you're going through this life. And honey, you only get one trip. And every day we waste, there may be somebody God wanted us to help snatch out of the powers of darkness and out of hell. But we sit on the sideline with our excuses of why we can't or we don't want to. And God says, I'm calling you out today. He wants us to be bold and to get on the battlefield. Ephesians 6 and 12, and we all know this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil forces that are warring against us. It's not those people that don't necessarily like you, don't say nice things about you. It doesn't matter. You're not fighting them. We can all be used. Our tongue can be used in ways that we look back and say, I can't believe I said that. Or acting in ways. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's powers of darkness that wants us to yield to his voice. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to expose the enemy. The truth is, we can have information. We've all heard the word of God. We have all kinds of information. You know scriptures and you have your favorite ones. So we can have information without transformation. But God wants us to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's his invitation. This is a new season. I want to be more Christ-like than I've ever been in my life. I want everywhere I go somebody to know when I walked in the room that there's a presence, that's something different about me, something different about you, because you're carrying the presence of God. We can have a plan without power. We can have a strategy without the Spirit. It's good, all these things that we're doing this year, but oh, more than anything, we want the Spirit. We want the presence of God in our life. We want it to change us. We know we can't conquer what we can't confront. Maybe we have to confront some excuses that we've been making. Romans 8:37, we just read a while ago. God's intention for our lives is to be conquerors in the kingdom of God. In this last, you know, it would be really sad that we have all these keys to the kingdom. Have you ever heard messages on keys to the kingdom? Y'all heard? Has anybody heard message on the keys? Okay, pretty much everybody. Anybody not heard message on the keys to the kingdom? Keys of the kingdom tells us who we are and what we got and the power that we have. And according to the word of God, he gives the keys to the kingdom to his born again sons and daughters. But we don't want to have the keys to the kingdom and not be unlocking anything, right? Can have them and nothing happens. We talked a lot about the soulish realm this last year and how important it is for us to prosper in our soul, because we all know that the biggest problem we have is in our mind. That's the hard thing to conquer, is our mind. We have to be honest with it. It's real easy for us to think negative thoughts, because from a little bitty child, we got that. We got that toy's mine and you can't have it. We got it, and we pulled and we tugged for our right for this, our right for that. And God says, no, that's not how you conquer. That's not using the keys to the kingdom. And so our soulish realm, we've let them go. But we have to understand that the battle that we have is not about the enemy out there. The enemy has already been defeated. Why do we keep trying to fight him when we wrestle not against flesh and blood? We know. But we know that there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We know that. But we also know that Jesus went and he stripped hell. He stripped the enemy of his power. And so he said that for my children, when they're born again, I will give them the keys to the kingdom. So we have to understand that what we wrestle with mostly is self. That's what we do. And how we battle this war that goes on in ourselves will determine how we fight the battle that's going on around us. Because if we don't win this, we're not going to help much with the other things in our home. And God is saying, this is the time. I'm calling you out. Romans chapter 7, and I'm just going to talk about it for a minute. Before you get to 8, we have Paul. Now, Paul was already he was already saved when he wrote chapter 7. But he talked about the struggle that he had as a man. So it wasn't before he was saved. It was just literally Paul. He was an apostle. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a missionary, and he was doing the work of God, and a mighty man. And he says to us, he was saying to the church, he was saying to them, I got the Spirit, but there's a flesh that is going on, and I have a warfare that's still happening. It's not the devil doing it to me. This is literally me, myself, and I having a wrestling match. And when we can understand that there are powers of darkness, there are things that are not of God, and they come against us. We know that for a fact. But Paul, he's breaking it down for every believer that it's possible that we come out of Egypt. We're saved. We hear the word of God. We know what it says, but we have a lot of Egypt still left in us. And God said, this is a new season, and this is a new day. It's time for us to take over the mind. It's time for us to say the word of God is going to rule supremely in my mind. And therefore, I'm going to speak and say what the word of God says. By the end of chapter 7, Paul says, thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I am no longer have to be a slave to my flesh. Sounds to me like a battle has been won in the mind. So we're going, I can live by the Spirit, and that's what brings us to Romans chapter 8. That's why he was able to yield himself to the will of the Spirit. We may be in chapter 7 today, but God wants to take us into chapter 8. He wants us to understand who we are so that we can live victorious. I'm going to share with you 26 four conqueror principles this morning. With a made-up mind, I have determined to walk in the Spirit and not the desires of the flesh. There are areas of our life that's going to be harder than others. We all know that. We all know the things that we have the hardest time with ourselves. We know the things that we struggle with. We know what our mind struggles with. And we understand that. Paul doesn't say run in the Spirit. He says to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, it means that we yield ourselves more and more. We follow his lead. We allow the Spirit of God to have the influence over our thoughts, over our mind, over the things that we do. When we yield to the Spirit, we will gain our strength back, greater than our weaknesses. Any weakness that you have right now going on in your life, God says, I want to bring a strength that is so much stronger than any weakness that you've ever had. When we yield to the Spirit, we will live in freedom. We want to live in freedom, right? We don't want to live in condemnation. The Word of God said there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we said, well, what if I mess up? I start out in 2026. What if I mess up? Don't worry. Conviction will bring us back. Conviction will bring us back unless we ignore it. See, condemnation is what the enemy does. He accuses the brethren. But conviction humbles our heart. Conviction says, you know what? I thought I was right, but I was wrong. That's what conviction does. And you know what that does? Then we're stronger. We're stronger than we were sitting in our weakness and unable to say that. Do you know that Adam and Eve in the garden, the reason that they were trying to hide from God was because they felt what? They felt conviction. They did. They felt conviction. The enemy tried to bring condemnation to them. But the truth is they hid because they were embarrassed. They were in shame. They felt convicted. Conviction is what brought Peter to the feet of Jesus, saying, I love you more than these. Only you know God. But it brought him to the feet of Jesus that said, yes, I love you more than these other things. That's why we can all sing the song, Your Will, Your Way, much easier than when we started out, because we mean it. We want God's will, God's way. He got to the place Peter said, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. God, we want more than anything to walk in your Spirit in 2026. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. God, we want to walk in your liberty, in your plan. We have to learn how to think like Christ thinks. Number two is set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Think like Christ thinks. But now that's some discipline, isn't it? When we have a thought and we're like, I don't think Christ would think like that. Oops. It's me, myself, and I. It really is. There's where the war is on. I don't think Christ would have said what I just said. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong. We got to learn to think like he does. Set our minds on the things that are Christward. Our life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Wow. Now, you may wonder why you keep thinking what you think. Well, they're your strongest thoughts. It's going to take some work. But the work of the Holy Spirit in our life can help us change the way we think. We have to think about how God thinks. We got to think about the fact that he loves us and that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Our thoughts will produce our behavior, good or bad. That's why the Bible tells us to gird up our loins. What in the world does that mean? Gird up your loins. It means put a belt on your mind. Put a belt on your mind. Some of us need to pull it really, really tight and about squeeze it, right? Bring it down to a really, really small size. We need to put a watch upon our mind. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What does that mean? It means that we have to reverse engineer that passage. We've got to put a belt on our mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Thank you, Lord, that this is a year of transformation. Thank you for that. Philippians 4:8, how do I do that? How do I reverse engineer that passage? Well, it says, 4:8 says, think on things that are true. Oh, what I said, was that true or was it just my opinion? Was that noble? Was that just? Was that honoring? Was it lovely? Was it praiseworthy? See, we got some homework to do, because you know why we're going to do this? Is because we don't want to miss what God said we can have. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Some of our thoughts are running wild. Where's the belt? Because they need to be imprisoned. Some of those thoughts need to be brought into captivity and imprisoned. And we can do it. We can do it because the Word of God says we can, and he would not lie to us. He would not. That's one of the reasons we're starting the 21-day fast. That's one of the reasons we do it 2 times a year now together as a church, is because there's some areas we realize that we need to starve our flesh and feed the Spirit. We need to do that. And God is calling us into this. The third thing is we live out our identity as God's children. We are a representative of God. Our identity is from him. It should not be our own identity, but it should be our born again identity in Christ, because we are the sons and we are the daughters of the King. We live and we breathe and we have our being, and we move with God's authority in our life. That's what he's looking for us. We produce from the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the acceptance of God, and we handle ourselves differently because we are in the kingdom of God. We're not spiritual orphans, and we need to quit acting like we're orphans, that we have no father, because we have a heavenly Father that loves us so much. We have a family, the body of Christ, and we have inheritance, and we have authority. If you want to know what God thinks about you, I would encourage you to read the Song of Solomon. It's God's letter to his bride. I mean, it's a beautiful love chapter. It's God's agape love. It's a beautiful love chapter for husbands and wives. But it's also a beautiful chapter for a child of God to see the love of God that he has for us. He loves us so much, and he chases after us, and he wants us. It's sacrificial love. It's a love that we didn't earn. It was purchased for you and I through Christ Jesus. And number four, we trust God's purpose in every battle. And this is one of the things that's kind of hard for us as individuals, because we get into these battles. And see, suffering is not a sign of weakness. It is not. It's a stage of transformation. Think about that. I look back and I look at my life, and I look about the things that I've gone through, that there were times where I couldn't hold my head up. There were times where I didn't know what tomorrow meant. There were times when I thought, will this ever end? Will things ever change? Will we ever get to a place where it's not so, every morning you get up and you have that sick feeling in the bottom pit of your stomach. And are you ever going to get past all that? Yes, you will. There are times you go through these things, you suffer, but it is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of transformation, because I will never be the same because of what I've been through in my past. That is what has caused me to be able to give the testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ to women around the world that are hurting in some way and feel like there's no hope for them. But see, we can all give the message of hope to everyone we meet, because we've all been through something. But it's not weakness. We have, and some are going through some seasons of your life that are testing you, even right now. But Paul in chapter 8, I love this. He asks a question. He said, does self-tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He's asking this question. Will they separate me from the love of God? Paul is saying, I've been through all these things. The questions that I'm asking, I've been living through them. I know the pain of them. But what he found out, Paul found out in the middle of every battle that God will get the glory out of it. Through every struggle that you go through, God still gets the glory if you will give it to him. Because he has a testimony out of your life. I know that there's moments when we go through a struggle that God is not only teaching me when I go through a struggle. He's not just teaching me. He's teaching the people around me. Because I act and react. I'm teaching something. And sometimes I have to put a belt on this thing. But how we go through the times of struggle matters a lot, because it helps other people to see that they can remain faithful to the call of God. They can remain faithful even in the time where it's so bitter and they wonder, how in the world are we going to make it right now? We want God to remove it, but sometimes it's the grace that is a miracle. If you've ever lived through grace, the miracle of God's grace, and other people see the miracle, what a testimony. What a transformation. Sometimes it's a patience. while you're in the middle of it. Just like the little Shunammite woman right in the middle of son dying. How's your husband? All is well. How's your son? All is well. Because she knew that if she just gets to the promise, if we understand that we'll just take the word of God, if we will proclaim what God is saying, the proclamation, the declaration of what he wants to do is not just for Daryl and Darlene Rhodes. It's not just for the staff here. It is for everyone that will believe, everyone that will hook up and say, I believe. That's what I want. That's what I'm believing you for in this season. Ever been in the middle of a storm? God doesn't stop it. But has he ever kept the boat from sinking? Oh, my goodness. We could all write a book on the boat didn't sink. I mean, it had water in it. And we were doing a little bailing and thought, sure, that it was going to sink. But it didn't sink. We made it to the other side. God was still on the throne. Remember Joseph? He had a dream. And he told his brothers, and he thought they'd be excited just like he was. Well, it didn't happen this way. They were those kind of people that they were certified faith thieves. You know, there's some of those out there. Some of them, they probably got their certificate on the wall. This is what I do. You tell me what God's wanting to do, and I'll shoot it down and tell you why you can't do it. There's a lot of people they can't help themselves, but pay no attention. You listen to what God has said inside of you. Because, see, God took Joseph's life, and he turned it around for good. And you know what? It even blessed those that had their certificate and said, Joseph, you don't even know what you're talking about. See, God will show. You know what revenge is? Revenge was when the family come and they realized that it was Joseph that was feeding them. It was Joseph whose dream and whose plan turned out just exactly as he had told them. See, don't let anybody move you off what God has told you. Because our lives and our testimonies are going to change the world around us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Why am I preaching this today? Because, see, you're sitting out here. You gave your life to Christ, most of you. There may be some in here today that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But most of you, you've given your life to Jesus. And you've asked him to come in. And I am preaching this because God is calling us out. He doesn't want this new season to be wasted. He doesn't want this new season. He wants hope to arise where there was no hope. He wants you to believe for the impossible. If he said it to you and he spoke it, he said, I know how to bring it to pass. We don't want to let this new season waste because we sit on the sidelines with fear and with doubt. It's not for me. It's for all the rest of those people. No, it's for you. It's for you and you and you and you. It's for all of us. Isn't God good? See, we're in Christ and we're shielded from the enemy. It doesn't mean that we won't have trials and we won't have tests. We won't have situations. But it does mean we're victorious. We're going to go in victorious. We're going to stay in victory. And we're going to come out. We may be bailing some water. We may be having to tighten the belt around our mind. But we are determined. It's time for us to quit playing defense. If you look around the world, you need to stop the operation of the enemy in your life. It's time for us to go on the offense and say, devil, this is my home. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my children. This is my dream. We need We need to put on the armor of God, and we need to say, this, I'm a kingdom child. I want you to know that these are my children. This is my home. This is what God gave me, gave my spouse and I, gave me these children, these grandchildren. Devil. No longer am I going to stay on the defensive. How do I get on the offense? I begin to quote the word of God. I begin to say what God says. I begin to pray what God wants us to pray. We begin to say what the word says. Let's don't wait until the battle's over to shout. Let's worship God in the middle of it. See, if you can praise God when you don't feel good today, when you can come into church and you can praise God when you don't feel like it, or you're in the middle of a crummy battle and you would rather just whack everybody else. Oh, you probably haven't been there. You haven't pastored. No, we really don't feel that way. But I have, I'm sure a few people wanted to whack me. But when we can worship and we can praise in the middle of it, praise confuses the enemy. The enemy's like, wait a minute. They're in a lot of deep stuff. And why are they praising? Oh, the enemy would say, oh, they're just hypocrites. You tell them to shut up. You tell them, say, I'm not a hypocrite. My word that God gave me is truth. And it's not based on how I feel. And it's not based on where I'm at right now. So don't let the enemy steal your worship. And don't let it steal your praise. See, some of us weren't even supposed to be here. Roy? The devil tried to take you out. Yeah, in 1 year. Missy, the devil tried to take you out, but he has never won, and he never will. Robin, never will. Christy, this little girl's been going through a lot. We're coming out. I had no reason to live except I had a lot to live for. I have no reason to succeed because this. Oh, but God, He's been good to me. Look at those children I have. I am going to get up off this bed. I don't care what the doctors say. I'm not going to an insane asylum. I'm not going to. I am going to raise my children, and I'm going to worship God. When it's all pulled out from under you, you can still worship God. God says, I want solid rock to be my praisers, my worshipers. When they come into the house, they're excited. They're in the house of God. We get to worship. We get to praise today. And when you get that mind, you'll quit thinking about what you don't understand, what you don't need. We put our focus on Him. He wants our praise so He can move for us. He wants us to give Him our all so that He can do what He's promised us. God wants to transform our lives so we can transform somebody else's. I'm not here for me. You're not here for you. You're for somebody else. Somebody else needs the Jesus that you serve. But when you're fighting and all we can think about is what we don't like or what's going on in our life, we're so selfish. We got to stop it. And it's hard. Tighten that belt around your mind. Today I have spoken. I bring to my church a new day. Today I am transforming your lives. Those that have an ear to hear, let them hear what I'm speaking to my church. Yesterday, I began to write something down. I don't have it with me. But I feel that just thinking about it for this moment, when we look at the world around us, and I don't care what political party, it doesn't make any difference to me. But when you look at our nation, it's kind of like our minds, okay? This is how I'm going to put it. When you leave the gate of your mind open, not just good will come in, but evil and bad will come in. Just like in our nation, we wonder, how could we get to the place where we're at right now? How did so many come in? And I saw that yesterday as how if we don't get the gate closed, we're going to wonder, how in the world did the enemy come in and be able to do in my family what he's doing? Pastor Darrell and I want to help you as a family, the body of Christ. And I feel here today, I feel a stirring in hearts. I can see it on your face. I can see it, feel it, feel the Spirit of God, know the Spirit of God. Some of you took pictures of the prophetic declaration. And you know, when Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says this, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping shall doubles come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. In other words, bringing what is good with him. God's turning some things around. It's a new season. Number one, for the prophetic to flow. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret. God is speaking clearly again. I don't know about you, but I'm humbled by that. I'm so humbled. Number two, the harvest of souls. Matthew 9:37-38. The harvest is plenty. Souls are ready. And may those fields, may I say to you and I today, may we not leave the crop in the field. Number three, seasons for prodigals to come home. Remember the story in Luke 15:20, when he was great way off. His father saw him. See, heaven is waiting. He's waiting for souls. This is our day to increase. We're going to increase heaven's population, right? We're going to do everything that we can in our power to let our life be a testimony to bring another young person in, to bring another child in, to bring another adult in, to bring a neighbor in. Number four, a season of vision and vision and fulfilled dreams. Habakkuk says in 2 and 3, write the vision. It also goes and says, what was delayed is now approved. I don't know about you, but that one excites me. There have been a lot of delays, I thought. But all the testimonies, Dwayne, we got out of all those delays. The goodness of God is more real than we could have ever imagined. Number five, a season of growth and strength. Isaiah 40:31, they shall renew their strength. Weakness is replaced with endurance. Oh, isn't that good? Where we were weak, let the weak say, I am strong. Number six, a season of joy and laughter. Psalm 126, their mouth was filled with laughter because weeping has an expiration date. Number seven, a new song of restoration. Oh, there's going to be songs come out of this church. This platform, I almost said it this morning. Missy wasn't here, but Missy isn't the only songwriter on this platform. It's going to be songs that are prophetically going to come out. We're going to begin to sing some. There's something happening on this praise and worship team. I want you to know the glories begin to fall and begin to crumble us, get us past ourselves. God's doing something. It's a new season. A new song of restoration. Isaiah 61:3, beauty for ashes, the garment of praise. What was broken leaves scars, but it leaves no shame. That's good news. Stand to your feet. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're here today, you're sitting in, but God has really touched your heart. We say, welcome. This is an invitation. If you want to get things right with God, please just come. Walk to the front. If you come here and you have a need, you just felt the pull and tug of the Holy Spirit. And you're just like, God, I want to be able to do what you've called me to do. I want what you want. And as we begin to sing, and as you begin to proclaim, it's a new season. It's a new season that's coming our way.